Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter. Our focus verses tonight are going to be verses 8 and 9, but we're going to read the whole, we're going to read verses 1 through 9 of 1 Peter to put us back into context and to cover some area that we've already covered as far as our reading is concerned. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do trust, Lord, that you by your Spirit would work through your word this evening. And though, Lord, this is an assignment for me for a class, I pray, Lord, that you would go beyond this and work through your Spirit in the hearts of your people. Do your work, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you a Christian? If you say yes, how do you know you are a Christian? You may be thinking, look, preacher, it's Sunday night. We're the ones that are here, right? We're the faithful ones. But that's not the standard by which your Christianity is measured. The Apostle James would tell you that just saying, I believe in Jesus Christ, is not the standard either. He would say that it is not enough to say you have faith, as faith without works is dead. And Peter is saying something similar here in this passage, saying it in a different way. But he is saying something even more specific. Peter continues to tell his audience the things that are true about you if you are a Christian. That's what Peter is doing in these first several verses. One of the things he is saying about a person who is a Christian is that genuine faith, the faith that passes the test of fiery trials, the faith that is more precious than gold, genuine faith in Jesus Christ produces love for Jesus and an inexpressible and glorious joy in those who have it. Genuine faith has marks of authenticity on the life of the believer. And that is love for Jesus and an inexpressible and glorious joy in those who have genuine faith. Now, the Bible is full of examples of people who profess faith and yet turned away. We think of Judas, one of the 12 disciples that Jesus called to follow Him, and Judas followed Jesus, but would later turn out to show that he was not a believer, that he betrayed Jesus. You may recall in Acts chapter 8, Simon the magician believed in Jesus at the preaching of Philip, but later, when Peter came to town, he would seek to buy the power of the Holy Spirit for his own use his own gang, and Peter would tell him that he had no part in the faith, no part, and that he had better repent or be destroyed. And 1 John 2:19 speaks of those who once professed faith, yet turned and walked away from it, and John says that giving evidence that they never had faith in the first place. So it is not out of bounds for me to ask you this evening, are you a Christian? And if so, why do you think that you are? The faith that God gives to his people is a faith that gives evidence of its genuineness. It produces a love for Jesus, joy, and the salvation of your souls. And the challenge that I place before you this evening is this. And I know I am speaking to people that I consider to be Christians. And you look around the room and you'd say, well, surely these people are Christians. But my challenge to you tonight is, do you see the evidence of genuine faith in Jesus Christ in your life? Do you see the evidence? Peter, by telling these Christians who they are and what characterizes their life, gives them something to look at in their life, to check. Things that demonstrate genuine faith. And the first thing we would see is it's your faith in Jesus Christ must produce in you a love for Jesus. Notice that Peter says in verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you have not seen him, you love him. How can you love someone you have not seen? Now, I find an example that might answer that question in the life of a woman who may be pregnant. She's not seeing the baby, but she starts to love that baby at first notice that she is pregnant. Yet this is a little different in that she begins to feel and see signs of this life inside of her that she is loving. There is evidence, and that evidence continues to grow even though she hasn't seen that new baby. And that's why we say things like, she is beginning to show. But yet she hasn't seen that baby, but she loves that baby. But there is that evidence. What Peter is saying in the strongest of terms, you've not seen anything of Jesus. Now Peter had seen Jesus. But the people he was writing to, and we, have never seen Jesus. And yet Peter says, you love him. What Peter is talking about here is genuine faith. He is saying in another way what Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You don't see Jesus with your physical eyes, but you do see Jesus with your eyes of faith. John 14, verses 25 and 26 tell us that the Holy Spirit brings conviction to you to believe that Jesus is all that he said he was and all that the Scriptures tell us who he is. So while in this life you have not seen Jesus, you are not blind to who he is if you have genuine faith, the faith that God gives you to see Jesus. Because you see Jesus. If you have genuine faith, you see Jesus born to a virgin, living a sinless life, going to the cross and dying there to take God's wrath for you. You see Jesus lying in the tomb. You see Jesus not in the tomb, but resurrected and walking on the earth. And you see Jesus ascending to heaven after he gave his disciples their marching orders. And with the eyes of faith, if you have genuine faith, you see Jesus even now sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for you. You see him because the Spirit of God teaches you through his word. The Spirit of God brings conviction of things that you do not physically see that can only be seen by faith. And that's what Peter is saying, that though you do not see him with your eyes, your physical eyes, you love him. And you can love Jesus, whom you have not seen with your eyes, because God has given you this love for Jesus as an answer to Jesus' own prayer. In John 17, verses 25 to 26, Jesus prays this. as he's talking to his father, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Did you catch what Jesus said to God the Father? The love, God, that you have for me, for Jesus, that love which you have loved me may be in them. That is how you, though you have not seen Jesus, if you have genuine faith, you can love Jesus. Because God has not only given you faith, He has given you the same love with which He loved His Son, that you may love His Son. That is a gift from God that He has given you. That is amazing to me, that the love that I have for Jesus comes from God. It is not something that wells up in me, something that I work up. It is, like faith, a gift from God. So how does this love then show its evidence? You can love Jesus whom you have not seen. But what's the evidence of that? Again, Jesus gives us the answer. In John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the commandments are summed up in this, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It is as simple as that, yet it's absolute evidence that must be in your life if you have faith in Jesus Christ. It will be there. If you have genuine faith, you will love Jesus Christ. And also note that Peter speaks here in verse 8a when he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. He's speaking in the present active tense. And he is saying, you are loving him right now. And as he was speaking to his audience, he was telling them, you are loving Jesus right now in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of these challenges of life. You are loving him if you have genuine faith. Because genuine faith produces a love for Jesus. I've always been encouraged by Brother Bob McCracken when occasionally he says, you know, if you love somebody, you tell them. You tell them, I love you. Because it's in you to do that. It's in you to say that. Can you imagine a husband giving his wife a gift on their wedding anniversary and the wife asking, what are these for? Only to hear the husband say, well, it's our anniversary and this is what I'm supposed to do, right? No doubt she knew it was their anniversary. What she wanted to see was that the husband was glad and joyful that it was their anniversary. Because if he loved her, she would see it in his expressions. She would see it in his eyes, hear it in his voice, and feel it in his hugs and kisses. When you love someone with a true, genuine love, you cannot hide it. It is in you. And you're going to express that love. And so it is with loving Jesus. Loving Jesus is going to be accompanied by joy in Jesus. And Peter calls that here an inexpressible and glorious joy. In the last part of verse 8, he says, your faith in Jesus Christ must produce in you an inexpressible and glorious joy. Have you ever seen somebody win something or receive something that just takes their breath away? And they don't have words for it. Maybe they're putting their hand over their mouth and they're just so happy and joyful, they just cannot think of words to say to express what they are experiencing. Well, Peter is painting that kind of picture here of the person who has genuine faith. And the word inexpressible means words, human words, cannot fully describe this joy that you have in Jesus. They cannot fully describe what it is to know Jesus Christ and to love Him. It is not that you do not express it, but it means no matter how you express it, you can't express the magnitude of the joy that God gives us. And the reason you cannot express it in all its true measure is because it is a heavenly joy. And that's what Peter means when he said it's filled with glory. It is a heavenly joy that comes with genuine faith which comes from God. It is a joy that God gives to us when He gives us genuine faith. A joy that is rooted in knowing Jesus, knowing the love of God, knowing that you have an inheritance that can never be taken away. A joy that in the midst of hard circumstances, many of the things that we had on that board that we've been praying for tonight, genuine faith produces joy in those very, very hard times. We see this joy is connected even with this love for Jesus. In John 15, verses 10 through 11, Jesus is addressing the disciples and says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." The joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory is the joy that Jesus Christ gives us. And this joy is not always something that comes out in words or emotions. Oftentimes it is that joy that is part of that inner peace that you have when you are going through a hard time. When you know and experience the joy of knowing God and knowing that He is caring for you and knowing that you are being guarded through your faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And Peter is not speaking to you about love and joy in a vacuum. He's not speaking to you about love and joy just when things are going well. This love is real. This joy is real. It's the genuine article of genuine faith, and it withstands the test and the trials of suffering. It withstands all that. It's connected to what Peter has just said before. And if your faith is genuine, and this is where the challenge comes to us, we cannot say that my faith is genuine because I'm busy for the Lord. We cannot say that my faith is genuine because I do many things for the church. Peter is saying our faith is genuine if it produces a love for Jesus and an inexpressible and glorious joy. That's what he wants to tell us. That's when he writes to these Christians, he is saying, this is true of you. It's not something I'm telling you to do. It's true of you. And so as we hear that word from Peter, we need to ask ourselves, is it true of me? Is it true of me? And what I am not trying to do tonight is to talk you out of your salvation. What I'm trying to do is give you a marker that says, I can see that. I can see that in my life. And I thank God that He has given me genuine faith. And He's given me some markers here to look and see and check if these things are in my life and to throw away all the other stuff that the world or the church may say, this is how you know you're saved. Peter is giving us markers here. And we can look and see, do I love Jesus? Do I rejoice in Jesus Christ? These are markers that scream out, your faith is genuine. And we are deceiving ourselves if we say that we have faith, if we say that we have faith but do not love Jesus, we are deceiving ourselves. If we say that we have faith and are not loving Jesus now, we are deceiving ourselves. Genuine faith, the faith that God gives us, will always be accompanied by joy and love. In regards to joy, it's not always a joy that we will always see in another person. And that's not what this is about. We're not to be inspecting other people's joy. Well, my challenge to you tonight is to inspect your own. To look at your own life and see if there is joy in Jesus Christ. And if you have this joy and you have this love for Jesus Christ, then praise God. You need no more assurances that your faith is genuine. If these things are real and in your life, and I would say to you, if this is true about you, don't keep looking for some other measure, especially your own performance or perfectionism or your own accomplishments. Look for these in your life. Do I love Jesus? Do I rejoice in Him? If these are in your life, I say to you, rejoice, and again, for this genuine faith is something God has given you, and by it, He is bringing about the salvation of your souls. And that's what Peter says in verse 9. Your faith in Jesus Christ brings the salvation of your soul. If you love Jesus Christ and have that joy, then you should have every confidence that the salvation that is promised in verses 3 and 5 that we read earlier, that salvation which God caused to happen in you and caused you to be born again and is protecting you and keeping that for you, you should have every confidence that that salvation is yours, because you have these evidences. And if you have these evidences, you can be sure that the inheritance that God has promised will be yours and is yours. An inheritance that will not perish, it will not be defiled, an inheritance that will never fade away, an inheritance that is God Himself. And it's not an inheritance that is just future, it's an inheritance that is with you right now. The words Peter uses here in verse 9 are saying, you are currently, presently, obtaining the salvation of your souls. Right now, you have this salvation, though there is more to come. But right now, you are in the process of this salvation. You have been made a new creature. You have been washed with His blood. Your sins have been forgiven. You have been redeemed if you have this genuine faith. It is yours right now. Even while we face trials and sufferings in a world that is lost, we have salvation in Jesus. We have Him with us now. But if this love, and this is where we must check ourselves, but if this love for Jesus and joy in Him is not there in your life, you should be very concerned. You should not be confident that you have this genuine faith if the evidences are not there. Have you ever lost a document? Have you ever lost maybe a Social Security card or a driver's license or something like that? If you have, you know how hard it is to prove that you are who you say you are. When you go back to that agency to get that document that you've lost, what do they usually require of you? But three more documents, which you likely may have lost with the other ones, or they're hard to get, but they want twice as many things to prove you say you are who you say you are. Most of the time, though it may be a hassle, you'll have some of these other documents. You'll have some evidence that what you're trying to claim is true. And so it is with genuine faith. If you have it, if you are who you say you are, if it is the faith that God gives to those He has caused to be born again, you will have the necessary evidence that goes with it. Love for Jesus and joy in Him. Tonight I want to challenge you not to waste this opportunity to check your faith. I think it'd be very easy for us to leave here tonight and say, well, I know I'm a Christian. I've been one for however long. And I know I am a Christian. And that may very well be true. Again, I'm not trying to talk you out of it. But I don't want you to come here tonight and leave here saying, I don't need to check. I challenge you to check. And I challenge you not to check while we're here tonight, but to go home with the Lord alone and check to see if you have genuine faith. Check to see if love for Jesus and joy in Jesus is there. Peter is telling these Christians there are some identifying marks of those who have genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Paul told the Corinthian Christians to examine themselves to see if they are of the faith. James, as I mentioned, told his audience that if they have faith, they will have evidence. And Jesus said there will come a time at Judgment Day that there will be those who call out to Him and say, Lord, Lord. In other words, Lord, You are Lord. We believe in You. And Jesus will say to them, depart from Me, I never knew you. Those are solemn warnings that we should heed, and we should not be thinking, I don't need to do this check. We should take them serious. And I ask you this evening to take time tonight to check yourself. And don't rush through it. Examine yourself. Take time alone with God and ask Him to confirm to you, do you see a love for Jesus Christ in your life? Do you love Him? And do you show that by listening to Him and obeying Him? Does the faith you proclaim profess result in a joy that is more than words can say? And if you can say yes to this, praise the Lord. And say with Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused us to be born again. Praise the Lord. That is an anchor for you. If these evidences are in your life, praise the Lord for His gift of genuine faith to you. But if you do not see these things in your life, you are not without hope. Ask God to give you this faith, to give you the faith to love Jesus and rejoice in the things He has done to save you from your sin. God will answer that prayer. He will not turn you away, for He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise from God. And so I leave you with this challenge. Will you do that this evening in your home? Take time before the Lord and ask Him, Lord, is my faith genuine? Do I have these evidences? And then respond to Him appropriately with thanksgiving if you do, and calling out to Him for salvation if you don't. And He will hear you in both cases. Let's pray.